This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. A Honolulu City Council committee has tentatively given the nod to the interim appointment of former transportation official Mike Formby to fill the East Honolulu slot that was held by Councilmember Trevor Ozawa. Ozawa had some strong words following a decision that went against him in the election. Unusual talk, criticizing judges, particularly if you're an attorney. He raised the issue of his opponent, Tommy Waters, serving on the Judicial Selection Committee that resulted in the appointment of some of those justices. Here's part of what he said.
At the end of the day, it's the justices' decision, and they decide among themselves whether or not they can be fair. Maybe they felt they could be fair, but let me say that the sense of impropriety existed. You know, when you these are facts. You know, when you have somebody with the type of political inside connections that Mr. Waters has had with the judiciary, and I didn't mention that he was also the House Judiciary Chair for years, you know, in control of their budget and different things like that in the past. It's a little too close for comfort.
In a rare move, the Hawaii Supreme Court responded to his criticism with the statement released that weekend following Ozawa's Saturday press conference denying any impropriety. The case had some interesting parallels for retired Judge Dan Foley, who also made a career as a civil rights attorney. We had a conversation with him recently about protected speech.
Well, you know, I'm no stranger to strong words, and I've been on the receiving end, especially when I was a lawyer for the ACLU doing same-sex marriage. I've seen the court decision in same-sex marriage was attacked not only by citizens, but the legislature, governors, whatnot. So this is not new terrain for me, but what it really reminded me of was a case in the mid-1980s when the Office of Disciplinary Counsel filed a complaint against former prosecutor Charles Marsland. Chuck had been in office a couple of terms and was extremely critical of judges and lawyers in the criminal justice system that he felt were too pro-defendant and didn't protect public safety. And he made all sorts of allegations against judges and lawyers, including me, when I represented the ACLU on prison reform, reducing prison population. He accused me of endangering the public by putting dangerous people on the street and other things. When I challenged the pornography statute for the ACLU and won in the Hawaii Supreme Court, he accused me of endangering the public again. But he couldn't find anyone to represent him before the Office of Disciplinary Counsel, so ironically, he ended up at my law office that I shared with Earl Partington. And Earl and I represented him and filed a complaint in federal district court saying that Mr. Marsland's speech was protected under the United States First Amendment, and we were prepared to defend him. That the statements he made, but we were arguing it was protected speech. Shortly after we filed that federal district court complaint, the Office of Disciplinary Counsel decided to reverse course and withdrew their complaint against Marsland. So the parameters of the First Amendment were never adjudicated. Now, one of the reasons why I thought of the Marsland case when I was following this Trevor Ozawa incident is that Mr. Ozawa and Mr. Marsland were not just lawyers. They were elected public officials. And one of the arguments Earl and I made is that public officials should be able to express their opinion. It's in the interest of the public to have public officials speak frankly, and to muzzle them would not be in the public interest. But as I said, it was never adjudicated. But that's what came to mind when I followed this Trevor Ozawa press.
And there were some constituents who had raised the question as to whether it was appropriate for him to criticize the judges. He is an attorney, and he had raised his concern that his opponent, Tommy Waters, was on the Judicial Selection Committee at the time I think some of the judges were being considered.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the Hawaii Supreme Court responded, basically said that had nothing to do with their decision, that you know, Mr. Waters was one of nine of justices that voted on two, not the three, as Mr. Ozawa said, And so they defended themselves and put it out in the public square for the public to consider and weigh. So Mr. Ozawa's allegations were answered. And that's what the First Amendment is about, is to have this public debate, to let people listen. You know, whether he violated the canon of ethics for lawyers, I'm not going to voice an opinion. But what I'm saying is there certainly is an issue when it comes to the First Amendment. We have a case out of Hawaii, and I cited this case when I was doing the Marsalin case, In re Boslock or In re Sawyer. We had a labor lawyer, Harriet Boslock, who defended people that were being prosecuted under the Federal Smith Act for being communists in federal district court here. And she gave a speech on the Big Island in Honoka'a criticizing these prosecutions. And the Territorial Bar Association suspended her license, took her license away from criticizing these prosecutions and the court proceedings. And she went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed the Territorial Bar and said her speech was protected by the First Amendment. And so we cited that case when we represented Charles Marsalin.
And I was trying to remember whether Marsalin's remarks, you know, what the context was, because I know, you know, he had a situation where his son was killed, and you thought that his comments came, though, as part of an election loss?
He'd been in office a couple of terms at least, and when they filed the complaint against Chuck, that was, you know, a while back. I can't remember every allegation, but it was pretty much everything he said negative about judges and lawyers when he was prosecutor. So they waited till he left office and then just went through and put it all together and filed the complaint. Whether that particular criticism was in the complaint, I can't recall. Anybody can file a complaint, and complaints filed with ODC are private. So whether a complaint has been filed, nobody would know, and not even Mr. Ozawa, unless he's asked to respond. I'm not saying Mr. Ozawa's, and I don't know Mr. Ozawa's, never had any contact with Mr. Ozawa. With Mr. Waters, the only contact I've had is when I appeared before the Judicial Selection Commission when he was a member. But if you put yourself in Ozawa's place for a minute, whether you agree or disagree, he thought he had just won an election by 22 votes, and all of a sudden 350 votes that had been counted, and if were counted, he would have won, were invalidated. And you can, and as far as I know, that was an unprecedented decision by our Hawaii Supreme Court. Many people have challenged election results and gotten nowhere. This is the first one I'm aware of that really had legs that overturned an election. Well, clearly an emotional moment for him. I think he would have been better off choosing his words more carefully, checking his facts before he made allegations. But, you know, having been a civil rights lawyer a good part of my life and representing the ACLU, I think that if there's any question on whether comments criticizing public officials now, we're not talking about some innocent person in the private sector, public officials who are very capable of answering and defending themselves, as our Supreme Court justices did. I'm always of the inclination, err on the side of the First Amendment, let the public debate take place, let all sides be heard, and let individuals decide.
This case, I think, was also unprecedented in that the Supreme Court responded to Mr. Ozawa's remarks on the weekend.
Yes. Yes, I haven't seen that before. I've been practicing law here since 84. Yeah, I've never seen a court specifically defend a particular decision. Usually what they do is they leave it up to the lawyers on the prevailing side to defend the decision and not try to do it themselves. So that was unusual. So Mr. Ozawa certainly got their attention.
I can only think of one other time when I was in a newsroom where we got something from the Supreme Court, and at the time we thought, is this a joke? You know, this is like a Saturday or a Sunday, and they're putting something out, and we'd never seen one from them. It was, I think the issue then was the selection of the Bishop of State Trustees. And so we were real cautious. We're like, well, we don't know if this is bogus or not. They're working on a weekend?
That was unusual, that whole broken trust scenario. So that was unusual. That was all unprecedented as well. And remember then, they were responding as private citizens, remember?
Yes.
They said they acted in selecting trustees as private citizens, not as justices. So they weren't responding as justices there as they were here.
That was Dan Foley, retired judge and attorney, talking about First Amendment issues surrounding the election controversy in District 4 covering East Honolulu.